Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Doug Karsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. I did not know or think about or suspect that we would be still be talking about officiating in Sunday's game. I admitted yesterday I feel a little guilty doing it because it's just classic, you know, sports talk. Feels like classic sports talk, homerism radio, but and we don't do a ton of it. Relative to as many times as I feel inspired to do it, because it just, I don't know, it feels to me like low-hanging fruit. But then again, I feel like it's what people are talking about, and it's not just people in Detroit. And then Dan Campbell says what he said on the morning show, which is reiterating. And he was, like, his mood today was different. His mood today was, I don't want to say it was salty. It felt to me, okay, this is just Doug's observation. I'm not reporting anything. It just felt to me like Dan was, that loss hit differently. And we'll ask Jared about it at 10:30, but I don't know. Did you get that sense, Kang? Did either of you get that sense?
I don't know. I didn't hear a ton of Dan Campbell this morning, so I can't really speak to the tone, if it was different. I did read some quotes this morning where he was very excited about Ali McNeil. So I think when it comes to that play and how it was handled, I think that if he was salty, he's got every right to be salty about it.
I think it's everything, Doug. Like I didn't really think about it. And then you mentioned it to me and I thought back, all right, I replayed it in my mind, you know, listened to him talk to the guys in the morning. And I thought, he does seem a little maybe more annoyed than usual, but I think maybe it's because I think it's self-inflicted. I think reflecting, like, you know, what they could have done better, and also the fact that you throw in the fact that is there some kind of miscommunication with the league and the NFL and the rules? I think that all played a role.
Yeah. I mean, this is news that is going to, I think, echo here for a bit, because there's conflicting stories as to what happened.
Well, the other thing is this. We've talked before about having sky judges or whatever, or, you know, having reviews done quickly up in a booth somewhere, and they could buzz down and say, hey, hold on, this is, I don't mind that at all, as long as we're transparent about it and say, this is, we're fully accepting of this, and there's a limit. It has to be done within 30 seconds. They have to buzz down to the field and let you know what they saw. And, you know, I think that has to be corroborated, though. If they see it upstairs, does it need to be? Do you think it needs to be corroborated with the officials on the field? And they're like, you know what? I think I did see that, or like, I didn't see it. I was out of position, or whatever.
You bring up a great point about transparency, because and it be corroborated, because this could be a big old nothing burger, right?
Yeah, the play wasn't run correctly,
right? But when you get conflicting stories, one and two, there's another play that doesn't get buzzed. That goes against Detroit. Right. It leaves a little bit of, now wait a second, kind of taste in your mouth. And like when Dan was asked about it this morning, he didn't bring it up, right? But when he was asked about it, he was very brief. He didn't elaborate. He just stated the fact and didn't give an opinion, like didn't say anything, just said, I was told it came from New York.
So I understand people saying like, hey, well, they ran it illegally anyways. It shouldn't have counted, right? Mm-hmm. But Greg from the morning show made a great point to me while we were switching shows here, and I got to give him credit. It's like in court, they illegally obtain information, which makes it not guilty. Do you understand? Yeah. The NFL shouldn't have a call from New York. They needed to get that right on their own, and if they can't get that right on their own, then it's a touchdown. And I think that point remains. That's why this whole thing is a controversy. You should not be getting a call from anybody. And if you did, void, touchdown.
But what if it's called from a booth upstairs?
But that's not New York, as far as I'm concerned. Kansas City, Missouri, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, but I wonder if sometimes that gets confused because it doesn't come from on the field. It comes from externally, which could be from, you know, officials that are sitting up in a booth, sure, as opposed to actually going to New York.
The easy fix here, guys, is the NFL, we all know they don't like to admit they're wrong about anything. They're going to come out and say that one ref or official that spoke to Dan Campbell was misinformed. End of story. There was no call,
there was no call from New York or
because the Jedi mind trick. So we're going to Jedi mind?
I can just say that
he was mistaken.
Well,
that one ref that told
the one ref, whatever Dan Campbell spoke to, right?
Correctly.
It just leaves a bad taste in my mouth. I don't want to speak for everybody.
Well, it does. And so I'm trying to think of ways to fix this, you know, in the future, where it's why I want time parameters of when, you know, how long can you go before it's too long. Is it 30 seconds? Is it 60 seconds? Is it 10 seconds? I don't know. And then it leads me back to the play where Travis Kelce didn't catch the ball and they run up to the line of scrimmage and they, hiked the ball.
Right.
Snapped the ball before anybody can stop it. I wonder with a play like that, like that's always bothered me. It's always bothered me when a team runs up, they want to snap it before anybody can take a look at it. How about the officials say, no, you can't snap the ball. We are looking at it, and we'll get it all clear or not all clear. Right. Yeah, in an effort to get it right, like everything else, because they can control it, just like, you know, you see all the time with football and in college football, and particularly with the, you can't snap the ball yet because you guys made a late offensive replacement. You got to wait for the defense to get back on the field, and you can't snap it, and the official just stands there. I wouldn't mind if we saw the same thing happen to the pros in relation to plays like that, where you know that they're rushing up there because did he catch the ball? Did he not catch the ball? They just want to move past it before anybody can throw a challenge flag on it. And I think that defeats the spirit of what challenging plays is all about. And it kind of cheats the system and it usurps it. So let's put a rule in place. That's what I'd like to see done.
Yep. But Kang's point might be right. The truth is it might be a misinformed official.
It could be.
The one that was standing closest to Dan Campbell that he asked about, where did this call come from? And he said it came from above. It came from New York. He could have been misinformed. But 248-539-9797. We'll talk to you next. Then we will talk with the quarterback, Jared Goff, get his 2 cents. It is Carson Anderson.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Tucker, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Based upon that interview this morning, do you think the league is going to release a statement on this?
No, because they had the pool reporter asked the question after the game. I think that'll suffice for the NFL. The NFL doesn't want to draw any more attention to it, so they're not going to say anything.
So just so people know what pool reporter means, in the post game, one reporter gets to talk to an official. And in this case, it was a Chiefs beat reporter named Matt Derrick, and the official was Craig Rolstadt. And this is the transcript for me in Rappaport. What kind of help or assistance, if any, did you get from replay assistance in Kansas City or from New York? Rolstadt, we did not have any assistance from Kansas City or New York. Question. So that was just a discussion amongst the crew itself. Rolstadt, that's right. I think they're going to say something. I think they're going to have to say something. But do they want to bring attention to it? No, but attention is already brought.
Well, attention's there, but I don't think they want to add to it, and I don't think they want to get into a piddling match with the head coach of Detroit Lions. I don't think they want the back and forth. They're just going to ignore it and move on.
I would think they would call Dan and say, which official did you hear that from? And then talk to that official. Why did you say that? If well, whatever. Let's get to your phone calls. Kevin and Wixom. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's going good. Thank you.
Good. Hey, we are now on day two of whining about these calls and the officials and the fixes in and all this garbage. Elite teams and presumably their fan bases spend about 10 seconds worrying about calls that they have no control over, and they move on to what's next. And that's, in this case, winning another game. I can't believe that you're going to ask Jared Goff about that, this valuable time you have of his. And you know the answer he's going to give you is, I'm here to play. I don't worry about calls. I move on. You know the answer you're going to get. Why on earth are we this is the kind of thing that I would expect in the 2 o'clock hour. I listen early in the day because there's more reasonable things on the air. And this is feeling a lot like 2 in the afternoon. And I just,
Well, 2 in the afternoon is wildly successful. But I will tell you this, Kevin, and we appreciate your opinion. We've been doing this for a long time and are very comfortable with the way we do it and don't do this part very often. I think this is a unique case. And as far as telling other fans what to do, we don't do that. We like to say all the time, fans can feel it however they want. You can feel however you want as a sports fan, and you're allowed to, and we encourage it. We have disagreements with them, and we tell them how we feel, and I'll tell you how I feel. And Kevin, if you don't like it, I don't really apologize. I guess I would say to you directly, too bad.
And that's fair. That's super fair. All I'm suggesting to you is that these are things that winning teams and their fan bases, they just don't bother with.
Well, we haven't had to. I think when something like that rears its ugly head, we talk about it. We did a couple of years ago when he had the Dan Skipper play in Dallas. And this is probably the first time since then that we've had any kind of real discussion about something that went against the Lions. And
guys,
I think
we're on day two. We're on day two of this.
Yeah,
we're
well,
on day
two. Okay, well, here's the deal, Kevin. Dan Campbell said something this morning that kind of brought it back up. I think we were ready to move past it, and then Dan Campbell
doubles down. He didn't bring it up himself. Because, Kevin, I think it's an important distinction. Dan Campbell didn't bring it up. Dan Campbell was asked about it. And obviously you don't like the question even being asked still because it is – day two, but it's our first chance and maybe the first chance for an audience to hear what he had to say. And so I think it's a fair question.
Yeah, the other thing that happens is that when we have our availability with people that can talk about it, they normally talk to Dan Campbell on Tuesdays, but it's a Wednesday because they're playing Monday Night Football. So it gets pushed back another day. So day two really should have just been day one, I guess. But I mean, it might be semantics or whatever, but I'm not terribly upset with this coming up again. I think it's brought it back up because of what Dan Campbell had to say this morning and the question he was asked. But it's okay.
He also said after the game, like, you know, he didn't bitch about it after the game when he had his first chance to do it. And Dan Campbell moves on. And they should move on. They've got a job to do dwelling on it. But when asked, like, did you notice when he was asked about it, Dan Campbell just said, I was told it came from New York. And they asked for clarification later, and he said, I was told it came from New York. He didn't go on and on. He's not dwelling on it. Yeah, he just answered the question and moved on. But, hey, look, sorry you're not going to like today's show. Brian is next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Brian.
Hey, guys. How you doing, man?
Okay.
All right, man. I just want to... you know, talk about it, man. I just feel like, you know, forget what that last call was talking about moving on. I mean, we can move on from it, but they're not moving on from the fact that, you know, what happened with Brian Branch. We're not moving on from that. And I just felt like, you know, if that play was good enough not to be called in Super Bowl 52, then why did they make such a big deal? Why didn't they have all the straights on it during that game? They didn't have all the straights on it during Sunday's game, but in Super Bowl 52, it was not even discussed. But now we don't know what we're doing. I mean, where are we as a league? I mean, it's embarrassing. Why do you got to make a call like you got to phone a friend to figure out if a play is good or not? I mean, come on, what are we doing?
Well, the idea of having New York be able to try to correct something, in theory, there's nothing wrong with it, except if it's not always applied. And that's what feels like happened here. Had Kelce not had a ball trapped against the ground and what turned out to be a touchdown drive, I'm not sure we really have a topic here. But if you, and you know, hey, they
just need a counter to what happened.
Why did it happen to Detroit but not happen to Kansas City?
But that's to my point. Detroit hasn't. I mean, we've come a long way as a team. I just feel Detroit still hasn't gained the respect of the league. I just really feel like that.
Do you? The funny thing is, Detroit has gotten, I mean, what are ways to show signs of respect? It's getting primetime slots, which they got a ton of. It's getting huge, you know, marquee TV ratings, which they get a ton of. But is this a case of Detroit getting the short shaft? I don't think it is. I really don't, Brian. I think it's a case potentially here of a positive Kansas City impact.
We get most of the call, and Kansas City had none.
Oh, we got more flags. Yeah, but I think it's if there's anything that's developed that weaves throughout the league, it's fan bases are getting frustrated with a perception of the way Kansas City is being treated. And I know they had 13 penalties the week before, but none in this game seemed awfully curious. When there were examples of things like the Brian Branch thing. Brian Branch got suspended out of frustration because Brian Branch got drilled in the back away from the ball in what is a clear, you know, example of an illegal play. And
one that I would expect Juju Smith-Schuster gets fined for.
I mean, I'm tempted to ask Jared Goff, next time you score a touchdown, spin the ball at a defender's feet, point at him, dust yourself off, and flex at the guy and see if you get flagged, because 15 for Kansas City did not. 248-539-9797. We go to Scott next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Scott.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Hi there.
Hey, I'm frustrated like the rest of the fan base, and obviously we're all going to pay attention to our teams, which ours is the Lions. So my frustration is we know there's a problem with bad calls from the refs in all games, not just the Kansas City game. And we as fans sit there and they play the replay on the TV over and over, and we get to see them. But what bothers me more than the bad calls is the non-calls. And we know in that Kansas City game, we can bring up from the video on the internet, 20 calls, at least 10 that weren't called. The block in the back wasn't called. It was seen, not called. The flexing was seen by all of us and not called. And at what point do they fix this? We have AI. We have reviews. We have challenges. That's what we as a fan base, I believe, are frustrated from. And that's the last caller. Like, we just want this stuff fixed, because it does affect the game. And when you say that the team just needs to play harder, the good teams win, the Lions are a good team, and the Lions were playing a great game. They might not have played their best game, but that affected them. It would have been what?
Well, it's a four-point swing because they didn't get the points.
Flexing could have been four different 15-yard.
Yeah, look, there were a few plays that would have been one.
I had fun with that yesterday, but he could have received four flags and 60 yards.
There were a few plays in that game on Sunday night that really went against the Lions. Some of them were shooting themselves in their own foot, and some of them were, you know, missed calls. But it's. It is what it is. It's over with, and I still think I love replay in football. It's got its place to get things right. All I want is to get the right calls done, but you want it done in a timely fashion. And if you want it, you know, if you're going to allow for assistance, then you better allow assistance for everything and not just when you pick and choose to help out one team.
Agreed. And you know, I have friends in other states that are fans of other teams texting me saying, man, you guys got hosed on those calls, you know. That just makes it even better.
An independent writer at Sports Illustrated did a breakdown of how the seven worst calls that went against the Lions on Monday night. I thought that was really interesting. Tom is next on 97.1. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Jets, how you doing?
What's up?
Well, I don't know. I'm frustrated. I'm an older guy. I'm still irritated. Charles White when he did the phantom touchdown on the 4-yard line and fumbled. And ever since then, I was a big proponent of, we need replay. We got to take a look at this thing. But I'll tell you what, since 1979 and all those years in between, they're not implementing this replay the right way. They either have to, which they're not going to do, replay every play, which would be ridiculous. They're not going to do. But I really think in this case, the Lions were totally screwed, but let the refs on the field call the game. Forget this New York. Forget the replay. Forget all this new thing of bull ass. I'm not doing it. Just get back to old school. Let's play the game. Let the refs do their best. And let's make sure nobody's getting any money behind the scenes.
Well, here's the other thing, and maybe this is where the NFL has some leeway on that play, is that every touchdown play is reviewed.
Mm-hmm.
But the review to see if it was actually a scoring play or not. They're not reviewing on the legalities of the formation. Now, maybe that's just something that they're going to throw in from here on forth, or is this something that it's going to be added for challenge flags for coaches that they can challenge if they thought this formation was illegal? It's just going to bog the game down if they do that, and maybe that's why they just want to buzz down quickly and say, hey, you know, and they should do it more often when it comes to formations with offensive linemen that are clearly not lined the way that they should be, and that doesn't get called anywhere near enough. And Philadelphia is very egregious with it, particularly with the tush push. But they have rules in place and ways that they can make the game better, but they just don't seem to use it fairly.
Jared Goff, next, 97.1 The Ticket.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And then, you know, here's a roadblock, and the NFL says that's not the case.
It hasn't been addressed to me. I know Dan addressed it to you guys and to the team two days after the game, and we understand what went wrong. And I know we talked about it this morning, and what he said is what they told me too. They were told from somebody that it was illegal from either upstairs or elsewhere, and that's the last I'll say about it.
Well, I was going to ask you about the officiating. If you don't want to talk about it, you just said that's the last you're going
to
say.
I think it's a waste of time, to be honest. Like we got beat. That was one play, and it was sure, but we got beat. They played well, and we didn't.
Fair enough. The J-Mo touchdown reception, the run after catch, showing some real toughness there. I guess we've always seen it in his blocking, but that effort.
That was a hell of a catch. It was a hard catch too, across the middle, and then getting hit pretty high and able to tumble his way into the end zone is a testament to, you know, how big of a playmaker he is. Now, a lot of guys just catch that and get tackled and don't score. You know, he has in his mind he wants to get in the end zone every time he touches it, and I want to get him the ball as much as possible.
Both of the touchdown passes you had, the throws were, you know, they were incredible precision on that, and your completion percentage on the year, it's a career high 76%. Do you feel like you're throwing better than at any point in your career?
You know, I feel like I'm in my prime, but I feel like I felt like that for a few years now, and hopefully can continue to feel like that for quite some time. And I feel good. I don't know if I can compare it to previous seasons or games or whatnot, but I feel pretty good right now. Yeah,
feels like one of the huge stories, of course, in the offseason was Ben Johnson. And talking to you over the last couple of years, you were in such sync with him. Not to compare, but how is your relationship right now with John Morton? Are you guys just picking up where you left off in sync with your offensive coordinator?
Yeah, me and Johnny are doing great, and I think he's getting better every week and learning and asking questions and listening, and he's awesome. He really is. He's been a lot of fun to work with, and are loving him and you know, learning things from him and getting new different concepts that he's had that have worked in the past, and it's been great, man. He's really done a great job up to this point, I think, and I think the best part about him is that he's very aware of where we all need to get better, and I think it's a lot of fun to work on those things together and continue to strive to be our best.
Is there an example of something that Jared Goff suggested to John Morton or in your discussions that we saw on the field, a particular player, a particular moment that you guys tweaked or changed, or you said, let's do this, that we can remember on the field?
I can't. I wouldn't be able to remember one. We're constantly talking all week long, and you know, most of it is his ideas. You know, sometimes I'll have a little input on some of the things, but for the most part, it's his thoughts and ideas that we end up executing on the field. And throughout the week, him and I are talking, trying to, you know, work things out. How do we want to do this? How will this best work with certain motions and, you know, play fakes, all that stuff that, you know, I can contribute with and try to make it come to life on Sundays. But no, our working relationship has been awesome. And I think he's done a hell of a job so far.
Obviously, game plans change week to week. But what's the biggest challenge for you and the offense each and every week? What do you see as the biggest challenge that you have to overcome?
Yeah, it's a good question. Every week, each defense is different, so you want to try to find ways to expose them, I guess, and that's the challenge every week, and it remains that way is probably the number one challenge. I think for us in particular, our skill players are so dang good, it is a challenge to try to get everyone involved. I think that is something that I don't necessarily need to be aware of, but I know the coaches are constantly aware of, to make sure everyone's touching it and being multiple and getting the ball into everyone's hands and changing formations, and that whole thing is a challenge. And I think that's, you know, the it's a good challenge to have, though. You want to have those challenges, and I think our coaches do a good job with that.
Well, it's reflective of having a very talented team, particularly on offense, and lots of mouths to feed, so to speak. Is there a player that doesn't really show up on the stat sheet that you would love to see score before the end of the season?
Oh, man. That hasn't scored yet?
Yeah.
Yeah, Craig, I guess. Craig's one of the only guys on offense who hasn't scored, and he does a lot of the dirty work on special teams and gets in there from time to time at running back, and I think it's always fun getting those guys in the end zone, and he's obviously a great teammate and great player, and would love to see him score.
You seem to be really dialed in with the tight end, Sam Laporta, lately. Can you tell us about the way he's been playing of late?
Yeah, he's been doing great. He's really coming on now. And, again, he's another one where you just find more ways to get him the ball, get him involved, move him around, get him in good matchups, and let him go to work. But he's so dang good. He's so dang focused and driven. And another guy that just is a luxury to have.
You guys got Tampa Bay coming up on Monday night. We talked about the challenges earlier with the offense, but what are the challenges against that defense in particular? Is there one player that stands out as a guy you got a game plan against, make sure he doesn't beat you?
Yeah, it's always going to be Vita Vea with them. I mean, he's just such a monster there in the middle. He can stop the run. He can pass rush enough to make problems, and he's just so hard to block. You seem like you always need to get two guys on him, and that can change what you need to do schematically and change how you need to do certain things on offense. But no, they're good. Him, Winfield, I think Levante David, those three guys have been there for a long time and are so dang good and probably don't get as much credit as they may deserve for how good their defense has been over the last handful of years. And it'll be another challenge for us.
Baker's playing really well for the. Out of curiosity, is there a quarterback that you like watching that you admire in this league? I'm sure there's a bunch, but do you have a particular favorite, another one to watch?
Oh, man, that's another good question. No, you know, to be honest, I don't. I mean, I like watching a lot of guys. I try to gain stuff from everyone's game. I don't have one in particular that I like watching. Baker's certainly playing well, so when his tape comes up, that's fun to watch. But usually we're looking at the defense. Right. Yeah, I don't have a good answer for you there, but no, he's doing a good job.
You know, on Saturday Night Live, they have a special robe that they give to people that have hosted the show five times, the Five Times Club. You are a number one draft pick overall. So is Baker Mayfield. Are there some sort of special handshake or any kind of special perks that you can discuss about being a first overall pick?
Yeah, we're in the first overall pick, second team club too. So Right. We got an even specialer handshake that we do each time. No, but he's a hell of a player and a good friend, and I wish him the best, except for this week.
Well, could you also give us a sense for what's on the line? I mean, their record being what it is, tiebreakers in the NFC, this feels like a massive game at the midpoint of this season.
Yeah, it's always big. I think anytime you get to play an NFC opponent that's also, you know, leading their division, it's fun to have those matchups in prime time, and you know, you want to win this game for this week, but certainly you're looking, you know, to where this game may matter late in the year, but yeah, you want to win it right now, and it's Monday Night Football at home right before our bye week. We're just coming off a loss. Yeah, it's a big time for us to get a win.
Yeah, you saw them in the playoffs a couple of years ago. You played them last year. They're off to a great start. What is it about them that has made them successful, and how have they improved this year over years past?
Man, they're so dang well coached, I think. You know, certainly on defense, what I see every time I play them is Todd Bowles and how sound that defense is and how good their leadership is. Again, I think Levante David's kind of the core of it and leads everyone out there. But, man, it seems like we've kind of traded jabs back and forth for the last few years, where we've gotten them, then they've gotten us, and back and forth. And so, yeah, they're a fun team to play against. They're certainly a challenge for me mentally, and it'll be fun.
Dan Campbell said this morning that he expects Aleem McNeil to play this weekend. And then he also added, everybody loves Mac. What is it about Aleem McNeil that everybody loves?
Oh man, he's the best. He's a great teammate. He's fun to be around. He's always smiling. He's always happy. You can't get that guy down. I think I've seen, you know, him be upset maybe once, you know, and it's just fun being around him. He's the most athletic big dude you've ever seen. You know, he can do all sorts of things, and it's good to have him back, man.
Can you walk us through what a Sunday looks like before playing on Monday Night Football? I mean, is it just a walkthrough? Do you get to meet up with your teammates and watch games on Sunday? Or what does it look like?
Yeah, well, it'll be just like our Saturday before our Sunday games. And I guess the only difference is we've got Sunday football on, so you get something to watch when you get home. But, you know, to be honest, not much different than watching college football on Saturdays when I'm home resting for that time. And for us, we'll do our meetings on Monday morning, so Sunday night will be, I guess, off to some extent, where we don't have meetings and can get to enjoy some Sunday Night Football potentially. But yeah, you're just resting and getting the game plan together and getting your mind right.
Lastly, Jarrett, happy birthday to you. How did you spend the big day, and has it hit you yet that you have to accept the fact that you're not 30 anymore?
I know, 31, you know, over the hump. No, thank you. We had a nice dinner, spent some time with my daughter, my wife, and our dog, and enjoyed the day off.
Any great presents?
Oh yeah, a ton. The greatest present was spending time with them. I know that's a little cheesy, but
there it is.
It was nice.
You get a passing grade as a dad and husband there. Well said.
Yes.
Hey, yes. Good luck. Huge game on Monday. We appreciate your time, and we'll talk next week.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Jared.
We understand what went wrong, and I know we talked about it this morning, and what he said is what they told me too. They were told from somebody that it was illegal from either upstairs or elsewhere, and that's the last I'll say about it.
There it is. Jared Goff, what he had to say about it. It's probably pleasing to the one caller that didn't like our programming that he said, that's all I'll say about it. But we did feel like we should ask him about it. And look, it's something that doesn't sit well with us. I think it doesn't sit well with people in Detroit. And Dan Campbell mentioned it again today when asked about it. I think Jared's attitude probably, it reflects that of Dan Campbell, who never uses officiating for excuse. He never brings it up or reason. And I've noticed this from the early on with him. Mm-hmm. And I think the reason is because I don't want the team to hear my message and think what we did was good enough. We just had it taken from us. We don't have to do anything
right.
More. And it's productive.
And
it makes sense.
And that was Goff's response, basically.
And,
you know, we got beat.
And what I've also said from day one is that that's not our job. Okay. We can be mad about stuff, and we do get mad about stuff, and we can We can talk to people that are mad about stuff. This feels like New York buzzed in on one team and not the other. When there was another call that could have got buzzed in on, right?
Yep.
So, hey, man, got it? If the formation was incorrect, I have no issue with it getting flagged. No issue. But as Greg Hargrave from the morning show told Kang, and Greg is sneaky smart.
Very smart.
Yeah. It feels like impermissible evidence used in court.
Right. Did you get a warrant for that wire? No? Sorry, we can't use it. Sorry.
Yeah.
Did they know that they were being recorded? No. Oh, no.
They illegally obtained evidence.
Yeah.
And that, for that sake, you throw the case out. Yeah. Touchdown. Lines.
Did you break into that house?
Oh, okay. So, okay, is anything come out of this moving forward? You don't think the NFL is going to have a statement?
Nope.
I think they will have a statement. In the meantime, we sit back and await the NFL's ruling on Brian Branch, which is a huge thing leading up to this game. Is will they have Brian Branch?
Yeah, I think it's, I don't know, big, huge something. I'm not sure what it really is because of his health. I think he's healthy enough to play for sure. And then I go back and forth. Like, of course, I want him to play. I think he's a great player. He's a difference maker on this team, and this team is really hurting for healthy bodies in the secondary in particular. But knowing that there's the bye week after this one, I'm like almost okay if guys like Brian Branch, Kirby Joseph, and Taylor Decker take the week off, even though that might totally torpedo your chances to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
Decker's probably the easiest one to try to survive without because they have the last couple of weeks played without their starting left tackle. They've gone with a different tackle each week with mixed results. But the secondary, and that's a whole different story. But I mean, the way that even like Kirby Joseph, the way he left the game looked like there was no way in hell he's coming back.
And then he came back wrecking people.
Right. I'm like, what is, and he's like jumping up and now getting all excited. Like, I don't know what happened in that tent, but okay. But it wouldn't surprise me if he's not going to practice parts of this week because of that. And the same thing with other players that are dealing with injuries like Brian Branch. But, I mean, you gotta, do I think he's deserving of a suspension? Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't do what he did. It's not like
I don't have high hopes for this.
He didn't flip somebody the bird or make some sort of gesture or anything like that. I mean, he hauled off and absolutely clocked Juju Smith-Schuster in the face with his right hand after the game, which makes it even worse. It wasn't even during the game. It was after the game, which makes it worse and caused a scuffle. The one thing I really found amazing about that scuffle is how restrained everybody else was. Like, people were there, like, as if they're going to jump in and throw, but nobody else was really throwing anything. People were just kind of almost keeping their distance from it while also trying to separate it without adding to it, which I thought was actually kind of impressive that there wasn't more of an issue there with people throwing punches, given how the lines played in the game and right. things that happened against the team, that the frustrations didn't boil over for everybody. They just boiled over for one player.
248-539-9797, Tim in Southgate. Hi, Tim.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
Well, I want to have another take on this. With Dan Campbell and Jared Goff both kind of admitting that they were told that the NFL called buzzed down to a non-reviewable play. I want to look at it from the gambling aspect of it. How many people had first touchdown bets on Goff or had lines to score first or had over-unders on lines points in the first quarter? If the NFL has an integrity issue, books around the world, when soccer leagues in Europe have been deemed to be fixed games, they take those leagues off the board. So how does this affect gambling where now it's kind of being proven, it's being shown that now the NFL has an integrity issue. Are these games and are these props legitimate? As a gambler, what do I do? How do I trust that the product that they're giving me is legitimate? That's a bigger question, yeah. A bigger issue, I think, that's going to come out of this.
Oh, if you put money on Goff with the first touchdown and that happens, you're ecstatic that, hey, we got the touchdown, and then it gets taken away from you because it gets, you know, up on high, somebody says it's an illegal formation.
Exactly.
I mean, that's something. I mean, the illegal formation part of it, that seems like it's the basic thing the officials they look for first before the ball's
snapped. Can I ask you a question, Tim? Because I'm just naive. What would be the motivation of the league to overturn this, as it pertains to gambling?
Well, no, the league's not motivated. I'm not telling you that the league is motivated to change the gambling. They're obviously, we know their motivation is to keep the Chiefs involved because of Taylor Swift and the ratings. But what I'm saying is, as a gambler, how do I trust the integrity of the league? Because all those people who bet, like the first team to score, that's a bet in every game. So the league doesn't care who scores first. But what I'm saying is, if I bet on the Lions to score first, and now that or a touchdown first, and now that I found out that they took the play away illegally, even though it was an illegal formation, that's okay. That's fine.
Well, it's not.
It was not a reviewable play.
I don't think it's illegal for the NFL to buzz down. I don't think that is illegal, and I don't think that's not what's in question here. What's in question is, why did it get buzzed down for the Lions, but they didn't buzz down for the Kelce catch? That looked awful a lot like the ball was trapped against the ground.
Well, and what the NFL would say was, it happened so quickly we didn't have time to.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I'm saying, and why I've said, well, maybe we need to put a new rule in place for next year that says that, you know, teams trying to rush up to the line of scrimmage before somebody has a chance to look at it upstairs, you can't do that. You need to have a reasonable time to review a play like that, as long as maybe it's not within the last 30 seconds of a game when the time is really the factor.
Kang, your thoughts?
Well, all scoring plays are reviewed, but that play, the formation, illegal formation, is not reviewable.
Yeah.
So you can't review that part of it, but you review the other stuff. So did it just buy them more time to quote unquote get their stories together? Hey, what did you see? What did you see? You know?
That's what I say. Like, the officials, when they, right before a play is snapped, before the ball is snapped, isn't their responsibility to make sure that it's the formation's legal?
Well, but that was an illegal shift, though.
Well, yes, but that's still what they're looking for. The very first thing they're looking for is to see that.
Well, apparently, one of the officials explained that it was different because the quarterback so rarely goes in motion that I don't know that there's anybody. It doesn't sound like there was somebody responsible for Goff being in motion, and they had to talk about it afterwards. I don't know.
I like how Jared handled it, right? When we asked him about it, he's like, well, we got beat. So,
well, I'm sure our first caller liked it too.
Well, whatever. I mean, the guy sounded like our father, and we had disappointed him as children. Yeah, I guess.
Sorry, Dad.
But I mean, that's the right attitude to have. Is it okay? Well, it's one play, and yeah, we still lost the game. We got beat. And then we'll bring up the Kelce thing. Yeah. And the NFL is always going to have an answer for it. Well, we didn't have time. We didn't get to look at
maybe
that.
Maybe that's why they have a statement. But we shall see. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1, The Ticket.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.